Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we read this passage in connection with Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day that explains the fifth commandment of God's law. The fifth commandment being honor thy father and thy mother, that it may go, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's read the entire chapter this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that thereon I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We read God's holy and inspired word that far. It's on the basis of Ephesians 6, especially the first part of the chapter, and in connection with all of God's word, that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. That question asks this: what doth God require in the fifth commandment? And the answer is that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. At the beginning of every single sermon, I think that I've preached here, I've addressed you as the congregation with these words, "Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that address is certainly appropriate this morning for you as the congregation, "Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a word of God to the entire congregation this morning that comes from the fifth commandment of His law. But this morning I'd like to add a word to that typical address that I give to the congregation at the beginning of every sermon. Beloved children in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children and young people, are you listening to the sermon this morning? God has a special word for you this morning as children and young people of the church. What's the sermon on this morning? The sermon is on the fifth commandment of God's law. And what does the fifth commandment of God's law say? It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And who especially is called to honor father and mother? It's you children sitting here in the pews this morning. We're going to say something to everyone in the congregation this morning. The fifth commandment applies to all of us sitting here this morning, but especially for you children and young people who are still in the home, still under your parents' authority, you need to listen up this morning and you need to hear what God says to you from His Word this morning. Your responsibility as children and as young people is to heed this Word of God, that you are to honor your father and your mother. Before we say anything else about that, you need to know why this is so important and why it's the case that not only do you have to listen to the sermon this morning for a few minutes, but when you walk out of those doors this morning and when you go home this afternoon and all this week, you need to obey what was heard in the sermon this morning. Why is that so important that you do that? It's not so that you don't get in trouble. You must honor father and mother not so that you don't get limitations on your curfew on the weekend. You must honor father and mother not so that you don't get a spanking from your father, which hurts. The reason you need to hear God's word this morning and honor your father and your mother is because you love God. And more than anything, what you must do as children and young people is show that love for God. And quite frankly, the way that you show that love for God is every single day you wake up in the morning and you say, "I'm going to honor my mother and honor my father." That's the way that you show love for God. This Word of God is for all of us this morning, but especially you children. And so we address the congregation, not only beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we say beloved children in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth commandment begins the second table of God's law. Let's remind ourselves of those two tables. The first table of God's law is the first four commandments that deal specifically with our relationship to God. But now we come to this fifth commandment that begins the second table, which deals with our relationship to one another here on this earth. All of that is summarized with those words of Jesus that we heard already this morning, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Let's see very quickly the relationship between these two tables of God's law. We need to know that there is a relationship. It's not first four commandments and then totally unrelated 5 through 10. The relationship is that our love for our neighbor flows out of our love for God. We can't love our neighbor, we can't honor father and mother in the right way without first having a love for God. But also this is true, that we show our love for God by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Very much our Commandments 5 through 10, which we will go through in the Heidelberg Catechism, related to Commandments 1 through 4, which is all about our love for God. Let's begin that second table of God's law this morning and look at this fifth commandment using as our theme, commanded to honor father and mother. Commanded to honor father and mother. The 2 points of the sermon this morning are, in the first place, God-given authority, and then in the second place, honoring that authority. God-given authority and honoring that authority. Before we get into the specifics of the fifth commandment, it's helpful to remind ourselves about a general point having to do with God's law as it's related to this fifth commandment. And that has to do with the introduction that God gives to the Ten Commandments. Every time that we read the commandments in the morning, we always include that introduction to the law. It's a very important introduction. God says, before He gives us the commandments, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's a very important introduction because it teaches us a couple of important truths. It teaches us, in the first place, that everything that comes in the Ten Commandments is the way in which we show gratitude to God for that deliverance. God says, I'm your God. I delivered you from Egypt. Now this is how you show gratitude to me for that deliverance. You follow these 10 words. That's why it's appropriate that these 10 commandments come in the third section of the Catechism on gratitude. But there's also another important point that comes from that introduction as it relates to this fifth commandment of God's law. And it's a truth that is very near and dear to our hearts. It's a truth that's very near and dear to the hearts of us as parents and as grandparents and really all of us as members of the church. In that introduction, God says, I am your God. I delivered you from the bondage and the slavery of Egypt. Now we understand the typical nature of those words in the Old Testament. Translate that into the New Testament reality, and it's this: I'm your God, and I'm your Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I delivered you from the bondage and the corruption and the power and the consequences, not of Egypt, but of sin. And now we get to this fifth commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother. The truth that is near and dear to our hearts as parents and grandparents and all of us as members of the church is that our children are included in the covenant and the family of God. Anyone that comes to you and says, you can't say that about your children. You can't say that they are God's children. You can't view them and treat them as God's children. You need to wait until you see a confession of faith and a walk that corresponds to that confession. But until then, you can't view and treat your children as God's children. Anyone that says those types of things needs to look at the fifth commandment of God's law in light of that introduction. God says, I am your God and I am your Savior. And then He gets to the fifth commandment and says, honor father and mother. Who has to honor father and mother? It's the children of the church. When you put that introduction alongside the fifth commandment, the conclusion that you have to draw is that included in the covenant and family of God are the children of God. Of the church. He couldn't address the children in the fifth commandment if that was not true in light of that introduction. It's a beautiful truth that sometimes we can overlook when we look at the fifth commandment. The necessary implication is that these children are God's children. And therefore, the fifth commandment is not first and foremost something that the world needs to follow. Really, it's nothing that the world needs to follow. The commandments are given to the church. And that's why this fifth commandment is the covenant responsibility and the covenant calling of the children of the church. The fifth commandment is all about authority. And that's why we need to look at this whole matter of authority before we get into the application of this commandment. Authority is something that's very important, and the Catechism recognizes that this is what the fifth commandment is all about, because it says in the beginning of the answer that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. And then the next phrase, especially, and all in authority over me. Fifth commandment says that we are to honor father and mother, but that's the example that is used for the bigger application, which is, as the church, we are to honor those in authority. So what we need to do is ask the questions of what is authority and from whom does authority come? Let's start with that first one. What is this whole matter of authority about? Authority is something that's different than power. There's an important distinction between authority and power, and hopefully we'll understand that by the time we get through this. Authority is all about the right to determine what is good and evil, the right to demand obedience, and then the right to punish disobedience. Authority is the right to determine what is right and wrong, demand obedience, and punish disobedience. Those who have authority have the right to do those things. Now that's different than power. Power or strength. If, for example, you're in an ancient kingdom and there's a man in that kingdom that physically is the strongest person, intellectually is the smartest person. Take every other superlative and apply it to this man. That man, even though he is powerful, strong and smart, does not have authority over the subjects in that kingdom. Just because he's powerful doesn't mean that he can go to anybody in the kingdom and say, this is what you must do, and if you don't, I'm going to punish you for that. Power, strength, is not the same thing as authority. The skinny guy, the short guy, the not very smart guy, but who is the right-hand man of the king, in whom is a vested authority, he can go to anybody in the kingdom and say, this is what you must do. And if you don't do it, I have the right to punish you for that. That man has been invested with authority. He has the right to do those things. The power may not be there, but the authority is. Authority is all about the right to determine right and wrong, punish obedience, or punish disobedience, and demand obedience. Who has all authority then? In whom is all authority? And we know the answer to that question. All authority resides in God alone. God has authority because God very simply is God. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is the creator of every single person here on this earth. And as the creator, God is the one who has authority over all. He has the right to do all of those things that we just talked about. He has that authority also because He's the holy God. He's set apart from everyone and everything else. And in Him is no sin. He's the perfect standard of what is right and wrong. As the holy God, He has every right to say, this is what is good. This is what is righteous. And God is the just God, which means that God is the God who must punish sin and therefore demand obedience, and when it's not there, punish that disobedience. All authority, because God is sovereign, because God is creator, because God is holy, because God is just, all authority resides in God alone. But we're going to move down a chain here. It all starts with the triune God, the one true and living God. But all of that authority in God has been conferred to the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ. And what I want to emphasize is the authority of God has been given to the incarnate Son of God. Not just the second person of the Trinity, but the second person of the Trinity come into the flesh. The truly man, truly God, fully righteous, perfectly righteous, Jesus Christ. In Him has all authority of God been given. That was something that was prophesied in the Old Testament already. Psalm 110, verse 1 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Jesus Christ Himself would say the exact same thing in Matthew 28, verse 18. Significantly, after His resurrection and before His ascension, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now that's an unfortunate translation of the word power. At the beginning there, I made that distinction between power and authority. With God, it happens to be that all the power is there as well as the authority. But that word power in Matthew 20:18 really should be translated authority. There's a word for power, strength, in the New Testament. You've probably heard that before. It's the word from which we get the English word dynamite, dunamis, dynamite. Powerful, does something, strong. This word's different. This word is actually the word authority. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Especially at His ascension, when He sat down at God's right hand. This is an important point because when we see that God has given the authority to the man Jesus Christ as He sits at God's right hand, what that necessarily does is lead us to see another point. And that is what Jesus Christ had to go through in order to receive that authority from God the Father. Jesus received that authority from God only after doing what? After coming in the form of a servant, humbling Himself as a man, suffering all of His life long, and dying on that cross. This was the reward. This was the fruit of all of that work that Jesus Christ did for you and for me, especially as that came to a head on the cross of Calvary. Last week we read from Philippians chapter 2. And that's exactly the point of Philippians chapter 2. The humiliation followed by the exaltation of Jesus Christ. He came and emptied Himself. He became a man. He became a servant on our behalf. But having died on that cross, what did God do to the Lord Jesus Christ? He lifted Him up. He exalted Him. He set Him down at God's right hand, gave Him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Part of the glory, part of the joy that Jesus Christ received, having suffered and died for you and for me, is this authority that is given to Him. All authority is in the triune God as it's given to the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And now we get to the fifth commandment. And we see from that exalted position at God's right hand, Jesus Christ gives authority to men and women here on this earth. Jesus Christ, from that exalted position, rules through men and women on this earth so that they have authority here on this earth. And so that we, in turn, as the Church of Jesus Christ, and as children, and as young people, are called to honor that authority. But we spent all of this time talking about authority in God and in Jesus Christ so that we don't have a narrow view of the fifth commandment. Because by looking at these things and understanding these things, then we remember that we honor mother and father. And when we honor the elders in the church, and when we honor our employer at work every single day, what we are really doing in the end is honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has that authority and gives that authority to men and women on this earth. But the flip side is true as well. You don't honor that authority. Children in the home don't have respect for mother and for father. And it says something about Jesus Christ. And it says something about what you are thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is all authority. We talk about all of this so that when we go home and we talk about with our children this whole matter of honoring father and mother, we remember the big picture. And the big picture is that this is all about our service of God in Lord Jesus Christ. But let's see then now how this applies to us and what we must do, especially as children and young people in the home, in honoring our father and our mother. It is striking, by the way, before we get into this, that of all of the relationships that God could have used to lay out this truth, He uses the relationship of parents and children. When He came to the fifth commandment of God's law, He did not say, employees, honor employers. He did not say, students, honor and obey teachers. He did not say, members of the church, honor and obey the leaders in the church. All of those are applications of this fifth commandment. But what God said was, honor father and mother. What we learn from that is that there's something fundamental about the relationship of the family. There's something that is more basic than any other relationship that is found on this earth, the relationship between father, mother, and children. And it's not surprising that when you look at the world today, what relationship is under attack the most? If this is a fundamental relationship, the fundamental relationship to relationships on this earth, what is the devil going to go at the hardest? It's this relationship. What he's going to do is try to eliminate the ability to obey this commandment so that there is no authority in mother and father, and so that children don't care anymore about honoring that authority in mother and in father. And we see that all around us, of course, in the world today. The family relationship is under the most serious attack. All of the homosexuality and the redefinition of marriage and all of the filth on TV that has children disobeying blatantly parents, it's all attacks upon this commandment because there's something fundamental about the home and about children with parents, and parents having authority over children. What that needs to lead us to do all the more is preserve the family relationship in the way of preserving the marriage relationship so that we have homes, we have families where the fifth commandment applies and where it's carried out in the way that parents raise their children and children live in the home. The fifth commandment says, not obey, but the fifth commandment says, honor father and mother. We need to see that that's the commandment, first and foremost. Obedience we'll get to, but we don't start with obedience. We start with honoring those that are in authority. God says, honor those who are in authority because Honoring is something that happens in the heart. When children and young people honor father and mother, what they are doing is having a respect and a reverence for your father and for your mother. It follows that you will obey them, but it starts with honoring them. You children, you young people in the home have to ask yourself that question: how do I view my mom and my dad? What do I think of my mom and my dad? Do I have respect for them? Do I reverence them as mother and as father in my home and as those who have been given to me by my God? It starts in the heart. It's an attitude of the heart, honoring your father and your mother. Now, it'll get to obedience, and you need to see that. That's part of the commandment as well, that you obey your father and your mother. And when you honor them, the natural thing that will flow out of that is obeying them. And so you do need to, as children and young people in the home, obey your father and your mother, as long as what they are doing is in line with the Word of God. But both need to be there. And that's the important point. The obedience needs to be there, but it needs to flow out of the honor. It's all a farce if they aren't there. It's not real if both are not there. That's very easily illustrated. Children, when your mother and your father says to you, set the table before dinner, and when dinner is done, make sure you help cleaning up the dishes until the entire kitchen is clean and it's all done. You children can obey that. And you probably do. You must obey that word. But if you go around the kitchen table with your head down, grumbling and complaining, upset after dinner that you got to take a half hour to clean it up, you're obeying them. But are you really honoring your mother who told you to do that? No. You're not showing respect for your mother who told you to do those things. Young people, you can be home at 10:59 when your curfew is at 11 o'clock. You can obey that word of your dad that says you need to be home at 11 o'clock. You're home at 10:59. But are you really honoring your mother and your father when all night long, and especially when 11 o'clock comes close, you're complaining to your friends about how this is when I need to go home and how crazy it is that I need to be home at 10:59 before 11 o'clock. You obeyed, but did you honor? What was your heart? Where was your heart? God says to you, don't just obey, but the commandment is honor father and mother. I'd like to say a few more things about that, because this is where it really gets difficult. The obedience is easy. I can stand here right now and say, obey your father and mother. And we all know what that means. When your father and your mother tell you to do something, you obey them. You listen to them. You do it. But this whole matter of honoring is more difficult. And the reason it's more difficult is that sometimes parents don't make themselves worthy of that honor. And they'll readily admit that. And the Catechism says that. The writers of the Catechism didn't need to insert that phrase, but they do. And it's something that all parents here will readily admit is true. It says at the end there, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Every parent sitting here can say they have weaknesses and infirmities. And every child and young person knows that your parents have weaknesses and infirmities. We're all sinners, children and parents alike. And we're all sinners in our particular place in life as parents and as children. Parents in raising our children and children in honoring father and mother. But the reality of this phrase is what makes children and young people not want to honor father and mother sometimes. They're sinners. They're weak. They don't do everything right. But in the end, it doesn't matter. And that's what you need to hear this morning. You may not think that your parents are perfect because they're not. Not one parent here is perfect. But that's not the point. And it's not a parent who is perfect that is honored as father and mother. But it's a parent because they are a parent. And because Jesus Christ said, I give you children and young people, these parents, and I give your parents authority over you. Period. End of discussion. And because of that truth, you as children must honor them as your parents. In your heart, you respect them. You don't speak evilly of them. You don't complain about them. But you show in your heart and by what you say you are thankful for the parents God has given you. Fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. And out of that honor, let the obedience flow every single day. Obviously, there's more applications to the fifth commandment than just children and parents. All those who have positions of authority. Parents in the home, office bearers in the church, teachers at school. We could have talked about that for you children and young people, honoring your teachers at school. Employers at work, officials of the country in which we live. And all of those have application with respect to this fifth commandment of God's law. When we talk about all of these other relationships, we need to remember the main point of the fifth commandment, which is that we are to honor them. We are to have respect and reverence for those who are in authority. And I think when we broaden it out to us as a congregation, that's what we need to hear. Because the reality is that this phrase, bear patiently with weaknesses and infirmities, rings true for all of those who have authority. Especially when you look at, for example, the authority that's invested in the leaders of our country. We are called as the church to honor them, despite their weaknesses and infirmities. We honor them. We may not always be able to obey them. And there probably will come a day when that will become all the more real for us who are sitting here this morning. Whereas members of this country or employees at a job where those who have authority over us tell us to do something and we can't do it, we can't obey them and their word. That was the case in the New Testament. We know that with the apostles, right after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter and John and the other apostles preached the gospel in Jerusalem. And they were arrested for what they were doing. They were thrown into jail. They were beaten. They were threatened. And the leaders said to them, you may not preach the gospel. They couldn't obey that word. Beautiful boldness on their part. The very next day, where were they? In the temple, preaching the gospel. They didn't obey the word of the authority. They couldn't because it was out of line with God's word, which we always obey. We ought to obey God rather than man, they said. That will come for us as well. We're in a particular job. We can't obey our employer. With respect to this country, we can't obey what the leaders of the land tell us to do. But beloved, the commandment still rings true. We don't throw out the fifth commandment. We hear the fifth commandment. Honor those in authority. And let's make sure that that honor is reflected in the way that we think and the way that we speak. So that we do show respect always for those who are in positions of authority. We're not revolutionaries. The apostles didn't go out and bash every leader that told them, do not preach the gospel. They respected them. And they obeyed God rather than man. Let that be reflected in the way that we think, the way that we speak, and when it comes to it, the way that we act as well. Fifth commandment comes with a beautiful promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a beautiful promise that God gives with this commandment. It's the promise that we will live long in the land which God gives us. The temptation is to look at that promise and say, we'll live long and peacefully here on this earth. But of course, that's not the point. It's the Old Testament. The land which God gave them was Canaan. God said to them, obey this commandment, this fifth commandment. And when you do, and in the way of doing that, you will live long in the land of Canaan. The great promise that God gives to us with this fifth commandment is the promise of long life, not here on this earth, but long life in the heavenly Canaan. Life with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with that motivation then that we go forth obeying this fifth commandment. And that promise is ours. And the reality of that promise is ours one day. Exactly because of Jesus Christ, in whom is all authority, and exactly because He has all of that authority. This reward that is ours is a reward in Jesus Christ, because having suffered and having died for us, He gives us the right to be with Him in that land, and that land eternally in the new heaven and the new earth. Exactly because Christ has that authority in the way of suffering and dying, all of these sins that we commit against this commandment. And there are many. As all of us as children know, we don't always honor father and mother, but you can know this, even you children, you must know this. They are all forgiven in the blood of Jesus. So that one day you will, and all of us will, live long in that land, that heavenly Canaan that God has given to us. With our eye on that heavenly Canaan, beloved, let's go forth honoring those whom God has put in authority over us. Amen.